I certainly think his right to stand down. It was just appalling and rather depressing to hear him talk in that way, as if being an MP isn't really a proper job, that he's got time to read books and go for walks and needs to take some money from Chinese companies to supplement himself. I mean, you know, 66 grand is a lot of money. It's more than most professionals get in Britain. It's not way less, like he seems to think. And to me, the tragedy is somebody of his talents has done so little in the last 5 years. He's, you know, he lost his seat. He found his way back at one of the best constituencies in Britain, and then has not contributed to frontline politics very much. It's been a terrible waste of his talent, and it's a tragedy in every respect.
Kim Howells, as a previous chairman of the committee, you'll be glad, I suppose, that he's not chairman of the committee anymore.
Well, I'm not glad. I agree entirely with what Fraser just said. For a distinguished politician, as Malcolm Rifkin was, it seems extraordinary behaviour, really. And I guess what stuck in my craw more than anything was the point that Fraser made, that here's a man who alleged that he had so much time on his hands. Now, I remember when I was chair of the committee, and I'm sure committee members would back me up, there didn't seem to be enough hours in the day to read the material that was coming before us. There were huge amounts of material to read, and it was of vital importance to the country. And I think he's done the right thing. It's a shame, I guess, but I couldn't see any other way out for him, really.
But, Mr. Howells, you could see why he'd say that. If somebody's in the room said, I might have a bit of work for you, I've got you a load of money, you got time to do it, of course you're going to say, well, yeah, you'll say yes, then you'll work out later whether you have or not. You might as well keep the conversation going.
Well, but Fraser just pointed out, I mean, £66,000 a year is a hell of a lot more than most people earn in and around Pontypridd, believe me. But it's more than a lot of people earn in London as well. And I think it sends out all the wrong messages. I don't care how much of an aberration it was in terms of personal behaviour. You can't afford to do that when you're a very well-known politician and, for God's sake, when there's an election coming up.
Fraser, behind the scenes, you're saying he stepped down, but behind the scenes, is there more sort of pushing than jumping going on?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think somebody in Tory high command said to him, look, in case you're in any doubt, here's the exit door. It was impossible for him to continue on this basis as an MP. And I hope that because he's, you know, a relatively senior, experienced politician, he himself will have realised how bad this looks. There is no defence for this sort of thing. Once upon a time, you might have been able to say, oh, yes, MPs need extra money to keep themselves tidying over. Now, that's just not the case. I mean, he needs to do this for the good of the Conservative Party. He would have been a huge embarrassment to it had he not decided to step down.
Is it like this at every election in the 6 months leading up to it? Is any transgression come down hard upon by the party to show they're tough on any kind of miscreants or alleged miscreants amongst their number? Or put it like this,
yes.
If this had happened in next January, Would he have gone as quickly after the election?
Perhaps not as quickly, but you're right in saying that in the run-up to the campaign, people are given no mercy. You remember 10 years ago, Howard Flight was caught saying something daft about how he wanted more tax cuts, and he was, you know, dropped as a candidate. I mean, there is no forgiveness, because parties cannot do with having a drip, drip, drip during the campaign. The same is true for Jack Straw. He had hopes to be a lord in Ed Miliband's dissolution list. Even that is now not going to happen. So I think both of these men have had their just desserts. I mean, to say what they said, it is appalling at a time where you need to restore people, to restore confidence in their elected representatives. What they both did brings politics into terrible disrepute.
I'm not going to end this interview until you two have found something to disagree about, because you're agreeing on absolutely anything. Go on, Kim, have a bash. Say something Fraser's going to disagree with.
Oh, no, I mean, the terrible thing is I agree with most of what Fraser says these days, and I'm afraid that it's something that affects all parties. There's no question about it. And whether I think it's a good thing that we've got 24-hour rolling news, I don't know if it's still called that, whether you've got frontline reporters with everyone who's got a mobile phone on their hands, you know, what Fraser's saying is right. You cannot afford to say anything that's even slightly incriminating or points towards some aberrant behaviour or other. I'm afraid that especially in the run-up to an election, everybody's got to look squeaky clean. Besides that, Adrian...
I would hope you're squeaky clean the whole time, not just looking at
it. A terrible shadow across Parliament and across parliamentarians, and I'm afraid that it's under attack already quite enough without this kind of behaviour.
But the Prime Minister said, just when he took office, this is the next big scandal waiting to happen. Well, it's got some way to run yet, hasn't it, Fraser? There's going to be more of this. I'm sure every MP, to some extent, is thinking, well, there, but for the grace of God.
Well, it's certainly true that it's amazing. I mean, Channel 4 Dispatches did exactly this sting 5 years ago. So it's amazing that MPs who can remember it would still fall into the same trap. You get somebody coming into your office who pretends to be an Arab or a Chinese investor.
But that's probably because they've had loads of these conversations over the last 5 years. Not necessarily these two, but generally. I bet these conversations happen every month. There's this one happened to be filmed.
You're right. And if you look at the Register of Members' Interests, I mean, you know, everybody knew that Jack Straw was working for the other company when he was doing this consultancy to, you know, what he said about how he was able to do a favour in the EU for one of his clients. That was all registered. It is just rather depressing. I mean, to earn, you know, almost three times the average salary is plenty for an MP. And to say that it's not, as Malcolm Rifkin did, is just a huge insult to people who haven't had a pay rise for years. So there were rights to go. But you're right that lobbying is a big problem. A lot of MPs still are labouring under this idea, but they're hugely underpaid, but they should be paid £120,000, £180,000. So they think they're quite entitled to do other consultancy work. I mean, even George Galloway has got something like £300,000 of extra earnings, and he's supposed to be a great paragon of the people. So there is a lot of this going on, and it does nothing to restore people's faith in politics.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Fraser Nelson from The Spectator and Kim Howells, ex-Labour MP, on the Malcolm Rifkin story. It's exactly 10 to 11.